so that you may be able to answer those who boast in outward appearance and not in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ urges us on, because we are convinced that one has died for all. Therefore, all have died. And he died for all, so that those who live might live longer for themselves. Sorry, those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and who was raised for them. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 to 25. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
Thank you, Amanda, for reading God's word for us this morning. Well, last Sunday, I talked about the Trinity. What I'm going to talk to you this morning about is it's really exciting, and it's life-changing. In my own life, I've needed something from God. And last week in preparing that message, and this week in preparing this one, God has graciously touched my life. Last Sunday, I talked about the Trinity, one God, revealed in three persons. And the Christian story is a Trinity story. You dig down real deep into life, and what you will find that the central core reality of the universe is this, that God is a relational God. That's what you'll find. Our God is not solitary. Our God lives in community. God is three persons, the Holy Trinity. And God lives in this communion, or this community of Father and Son and Holy Spirit. And these three persons, this one God, they live in this fellowship of love. And it's a love that would invite every single one of you here this morning right into the very center of it, to join in that communion, to be part of that community, to experience that party of love. You picture with me, if you would, a large oak dining room table. Solid oak table. It's just a beautiful table, and it's set with beautiful things, with all the trimmings of an incredible and sumptuous feast, all laid out on it. The harvest bounty of every good thing that you could imagine, food and drink and everything else, is waiting for you and for your friends at this table for you to enjoy. And the whole atmosphere right there is one of warmth, it's one of love, it's one of celebration and of festivity. And you can hardly believe it that that you, of all people, you've actually been invited to come and to join in this celebration. It's good fortune, plus, that you would even get to be a guest of honor at this table, invited to sit down and join in the party. There's one small matter, though, that needs to be taken care of before you can actually come to that table. You've been out working. You've been working real hard. And you've got some dirt under your fingernails. Not only that, your hair is coated with grease. Your skin is caked with mud and slime. And beyond all of that, here's the sad reality. Okay, the truth of it all. I simply have to tell you, you stink. I mean, your body odor, it's gone off the scale, right? In other words, what I'm trying to tell you is that you're an utter and complete mess. And you know, before you're ever going to sit down at the table with anybody, let alone if we can picture this table as God, and say, you need a shower. You have to be cleansed. You have to be scrubbed real good. You need a thoroughgoing body wash. Now here's the wonder of what we say when we confess faith in God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We sang about it. Jesus, God the Son, came to earth for us. He gave his life in our place. He paid our penalty so that we might be cleaned up. We might be scrubbed thorough and through. And we might be forgiven and set free of everything. Everything. Nothing missed in our past. And be welcome to come to the Father's table. And there's Abba Father. And, oh, I have such a strong picture of this. I wish, you know, when I had a picture in my mind, it would go up on the screen for you, because I have this picture of Abba, our Father, with his arms opened wide. And if you've ever had a hug, you've never had a hug like this. God the Father, just waiting to embrace you and say, come and sit at my table of joy. And there's God the Holy Spirit as well. And he fills you with the real deep inner assurance of the presence of Son and Father and the life that the three of them share together as one God in the Trinity. Now friends, you have to know that anyone at any time is able to call on the name of the Lord and receive just exactly what I've been telling you about. I mean, that could happen for you this morning. If you've never experienced in your life, you know, you're thinking, oh, gee, I feel like I got stuff in my life that, wow, I need to be forgiven of that. I mean, you're experiencing something of that work of God that says that needs to happen. It can happen this morning. All you have to do is simply call on the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God is willing, ready to receive you and bring you to his table of life and love. And when you come to the table of God, when you can picture this banquet table, you get to enter deeply into it. You get to enjoy the fullness of the community of the Godhead and the communion of everybody else that's gathered around that table. You do not have to stand on the sidelines. You know, you picture, I mean, think of a dance. And you're not standing on the sideline hoping, and you know, against hope that someone's going to invite you to dance with them. You're not an observer. You're not on the sidelines. Father's there. The Son's there. The Spirit moves you. And God's family is there to welcome you, to immerse yourself into all the joys and the delights of God's party of life and love. Now here's where it really gets very exciting, but I have to also be honest and tell you, it can be, and I know this, okay? Just hear me when I say that. It can be deeply threatening. We get all cleaned up. Really? Okay. Jesus gave his life for us. We receive God's gift to us. We're given new life. We become the new creations that we heard Amanda reading about in the scripture lesson. But we know there's still a lot of that old stuff just lingering on, hanging on, still clinging to us. It shows itself in our thinking and our attitudes and our behavior. It's all there. I mean, we're cleaned up. But we wonder, what's going on? What on earth is taking place? And what's happening is that God now wants to refine us. God wants to purify us. God wants to lift off all of that stuff, take it away, all those signs of old creation life, and mold us, shape us, make us more day by day, step by step, into the image, the likeness of Jesus Christ. I mean, I can tell you this morning, there's work that still has to be done in my life. Am I alone? The only person I saw who gave me any answer to that was Cam Signer. And Cam just went like this, I'm not alone. Am I alone? No. You ever heard it, please be patient, God isn't finished with me yet? I mean, who here does not need the patience of God, the long-suffering of God in their life? Oh, come on, stop being Presbyterian or Christian Reformed or whatever. Respond. It's true. It really is. It really is. There's work to be done in us. And what that work needs is, it needs God's grace, yes, but it also needs our clear, our definite, our full resolve and commitment to partner with God, to work with God. Work out your salvation, Scripture says, with fear and trembling, to work with God to see more and more of that change take place in our lives. I put it this way, to come to the party, that's free. That's God's gift of love, His gift of grace. It's an amazing grace. And then to enter into the life of the party, that needs our daily commitment to follow Jesus as Lord, to surrender. Surrender every hope, every dream, every ambition you have for your daughter. To lay it all before God, to give it to Him. Everything in our lives, and all of it, you see, happens. Both happen because of God's amazing grace at work in our lives. But this second one, this act of surrender, it really needs me, it needs you, it needs us as a church, churches you represent and come from, to step out and to step up and to partner with God. If we're going to grow in our life of faith and trust in our Savior. So how do we do that? How does all of that second part happen? Well, the first thing is this. But I want to suggest to you that we need a deep change of attitude. There's got to be a turnaround in our thinking. We have to move from thinking to ourselves, okay, I belong to God. I've been baptized. I belong to God. I'm a member of the church. Everything is good. And now, God, thank you very much for all that. I'm safe. I'm secure. But now, God, I'm going to do it my own way. I'm going to do it in my time and my schedule. It's going to happen according to my plans. We've got to move from that attitude and that way of thinking into a way of thinking that says, I choose intentionally. I choose very deliberately. It happens every day, friends. Every day, to be a part of this new God thing that God's fashioning, that God is making. This community, entering into this community on a daily basis with the Trinity and with the family of God. Now, that's very easy to say. I mean, you can even sit there and say, preach it, brother. It's easy to say. But it is hard to do. Take it from one who knows. Because it's very easy for us to be distant and aloof from God. Oh yeah, we do our Sunday thing. But still to be distant and aloof from God and from the people of God. And that happens because every one of us has hurts in our lives. But the question I have for you is this. Are they healed? Or are they being healed? Because if they're not, then it's very easy to have a guarded heart, to live disengaged from God and distant from the people of God. I mean, how many of you experienced disappointments in your life? You know? Are you healed? Are you being healed? I mean, it doesn't happen overnight. But those disappointments carry on, and bitterness can set in there. And so once again, there's this distance between you and God and between you and the people of God. We can have an attitude, a mindset in our lives because of things that have been done to us in the course of our lives of worthlessness and of shame. We can be fearful and anxious because we've tried once and we've been burned and we don't want to try again. We just don't think we can afford once more to get close, let alone to God, but to the people of God as well. And, you know, I mean, if you get close, if you go deep into this God stuff, I mean, you might get called a fanatic. You might not fit in with the culture. You might have to think, oh, I just might have to live a kind of counter-cultural kind of life. It's really easy to say no to God in our attitude and our thinking. No to the people of God. And so we need a change of attitude that sets us free to say with it can be in our weakness and it can be in our pain, but it can still be with a resolve and a commitment. I'm in. I'm in. God, I'm part of this. I'm in. You're my God, and your people, they're my people, and I'm not going to live on the outskirts of this new community of your people. I'm not going to live distant and removed from you as my triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You belong to me, and Lord, I belong to you, and I belong to your people. That's the first thing. Secondly, We need an act of commitment to spend time together as God's new community. And this one just really, it builds on the first point. The first one's about the attitude change that has to happen in our lives, that God has to work in our lives. The second one is really about moving beyond simply saying that I'm in, to actively, intentionally choosing to spend time, to hang out, to just be with the people of God, the new community of God. This is stretching the attitude change that says that I'm in to the lifestyle change that says I'm in with you. You, yeah. You, Cliff, I'm in with you. You, I'm in with you. I mean, you're in my daytimer. Hey, you're even in my nighttimer. You're my 24/7 guy. I'm in with you. It's what we say. It's what we demonstrate. It's what we, do in our attitude and our relationship with each other. Now, guess what's the greatest enemy of saying that? I mean, it's busyness. Strange thing to say, is it? It really is. Our busyness can oftentimes become a higher priority for us in life than our commitment to our togetherness. You know what I'm saying? Somebody. I mean, I'm going to have to change churches today and just go somewhere where I can get an amen. Okay. Anyone know a church that does that? I need an amen right about now, right? Because that's true. Our busyness can get in the way of the togetherness that you and I are to have, Cliff, with each other. And what does Hebrews 10:25 tell us? You read it, Amanda. I won't ask you to repeat it. Don't worry. But it tells us not to give such a priority to our busyness and the demands of life that's out there for us, not to let it get in the way and stop us from our hanging out together, from our spending time together, from our fellowshipping, as it were, with each other in God's family. Do you know the song that goes like this? The more we get together, together, together. Oh, I give up on you. I just give up. I mean, even the parents of children here don't get that one. But it's true. It's very, very true. The more that we get together, not meeting for meeting's sake, not a holy huddle kind of thing, but the more we get together, the more that we're going to experience the transforming power and the healing graces of God, the Holy Spirit, released in our lives. I've had to have that happen for me through this week. I've had to get together. Together with some people. Because what's been going on in my life, and what is it all towards the end of? It's all towards this end. It says it in Hebrews chapter 10. It's in order that we would be spurred on towards love and good deeds, and we would be encouraging one another. I guess the translation there said provoking one another, but that's that kind of provoking is a good provoking. It's encouraging one another. You want to know the definition of a brother or a sister in God's new community? I'll tell you what it is. It's a friend who walks into your life when everyone else walks out. The more we get together, yeah, you get it. Okay, you're catching on. It's a person who walks into your life when others walk out. The attitude change, I'm in. And the lifestyle choice and change, I'm in with you. They call every one of us who follow Jesus to live the Trinity. And when we have a robust commitment to live together as God's people, the way that we see God, the Holy Trinity, living together, picture that. I mean, let me just stop. Can you even think of Jesus having an attitude problem with the Father? Can you even imagine the Spirit of God not wanting to hang out with the Son of God? No. And when we focus in on the life of the Trinity, of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that calls us to the kind of fellowship we're to have one with another. I simply can't see Jesus saying, Father, I don't want to hang out with you today. I mean, my BlackBerry, okay, yeah. Oh, 2 months, yeah, sure, 7:30. No, doesn't happen like that. Not in the least. And when we hang out together, when we model that kind of life in the Holy Trinity, you know, the world, you're gonna do that this afternoon, tomorrow morning. And when you do that, then the world that you live in, wherever that world is, it's going to have its very best opportunity to see what God looks like. They'll see it in you. And if what people see in us together, because of our attitudes having changed, because our choices haven't changed, is that what they see is division, and they see bickering and complaining and negativity and a bunch of grumpy, cranky people, people who are easily offended, people that you have to walk around on eggshells because you think you're going to, you know, hurt them or offend them, or people who have a Sunday habit or live a different kind of life on Monday. If that's what they see in us, golly, is it any wonder that they, with a shrug, deem it all rather irrelevant and says, I mean, well, I'll give them their due, but they got a very strained obsession with God. I mean, I don't really want anything to do with that. But if what they see in our life together is people who deeply, truly love each other, people who hang out together, people who hold up each other, encourage each other, honor and value, people who build up, people who bless, people who weep and suffer with those who weep and suffer, people who rejoice with those who celebrate, people who are willing to sacrifice for each other, people who deeply, truly enjoy just being together as the people of God, then our life together becomes, I believe, a compelling invitation for the world that we live in to consider how the love of God can actually change their life. And it becomes a call on them to respond to the invitation of God to come and join in his party of love. I want to invite the praise team to come forward. But I want to pray, because, you know, in any group this size, you know, there's going to be someone who needs to take the step from, you know, thinking I need to be clean to being clean. People who, I believe this morning, need to take the step of the attitude change and choice, and people who want to take that lifestyle change and choice. I want to pray for myself. I want to pray for you. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord God, that the glorious day of the future has made its way into the present, because in our past, Jesus did come, die, took upon himself our sins so that we could be forgiven, cleansed, and changed. And we hear your word this morning that if anyone calls in the name of the Lord, turns to you, Jesus, Son of God, they will be saved. They will be washed clean. Help anyone here this morning who's right there, right now, to know your strength to say yes. Wash me, Jesus, clean. And Lord, in all of the attitude change that we need here this morning, from saying, thank you, God, for cleaning me, but I don't know that I want to be in, help us to say, I'm in. To really change our way of thinking, not seeing ourselves as solitary, alone, but part of a family, part of a community, your community of the Trinity, your community of the church. And help us, Lord God, we really need your grace here to take the step from saying I'm in to saying I'm in with you, to your people. And God, we're just all a bunch of misfits. But somehow, some way, you join us together, you link us, you bond us, you make us one in Christ, in the unity of the Spirit, praise be to your name. And we say yes to that this morning, too. Glory, blessing, honor, and power be to you, Holy Trinity, Triune God, one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's sing together about the blessing.